Now, did everyone get a chance to say good morning to everyone here this morning?
No.
No.
If not, turn around and say hi. Please, oh, take your time. There's no hurry. Please be seated. It is a wonderful day, and so seeing as it is such a wonderful day, I want you to hear this very, very good news. This is a true and faithful saying that Jesus Christ came to redeem us all, and in him we find peace and forgiveness. And all God's people said, thanks be to God. Our call to worship this morning is all about the Holy Spirit. Today is today that, since we've adopted the lectionary movement and followed the seasons of the church, today is the day that the church remembers and celebrates what's called Pentecost, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised would come so that all people would have full connection with God and remember all the teachings that Jesus had taught to them. So, our call to worship goes like this. Breathe upon us, Holy Spirit.
So that our thoughts will be inspired by you.
Act in us, Holy Spirit.
So that our actions may be holy.
Stir in our hearts, Holy Spirit.
So that we may love what is holy.
Strengthen us, Holy Spirit.
So that we may serve in ways that are holy.
Breathe in us, Holy Spirit.
So that our lives may be holy as we worship our God together.
Let us pray. The Spirit moves, Lord, upon the face of the earth, and Lord, you empower your people to act. We know that when you call, we are not left alone. And therefore, Lord, this morning we gather to listen what the Spirit has to say to us through scripture, sermon, and prayer. We know that you are the loving God, the compassionate Son, the healing Holy Spirit. Lord, you approach us with such gentleness and tenderness. And yet your touch is powerful enough to transform our lives and the world. You care for us and your creation because all things are greater than we could ever possibly imagine. So Lord, this morning in adoration we come and we pause from our work and our responsibilities, from our play and our daydreams, to solely enjoy you. To spend this time with you this morning, Lord, to wonder at the beauty of your world and wonder at the life that we have in you. You are a holy and gracious God. And yet, Lord, we confess we do not always listen. We do not always listen to the small, still voice of your Spirit within us, calling us to seek you and follow your way. Too often, Lord, we claim the name of Christ, but we act by the standards of the world. Lord, you created us to love and to serve you. But so many times, Lord, we ignore that claim. We ignore that we have been made to worship you. This morning, Lord, we ask that you still our hearts. You transform our lives from who we are to who you would have us be. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 104. Psalm 104 is traditionally called a nature psalm because it speaks to the glory and the majesty of the creation of God. And yet it comes what somewhat of a surprise to the psalmist. You can almost hear it in the words that the psalmist looks at the things that God has created and is surprised and is amazed. Did I miss something? Everybody's laughing.
Just a cell phone.
Thank you. There are things we're always amazed about, aren't there?
Absolutely.
So, I've chosen to do something special this morning. Because we're amazed, I am going to ask one of the choir to take this microphone here and read the scripture. And they haven't prepared for this. So which one of you would like to read scripture?
I'll do it.
Okay. Sharon said she
Sharon will do it.
They all want to do it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the ocean, vast and wide, teeming with life of every kind, both large and small. See the ships sailing along, and Leviathan, which you made to play in the sea. They all depend on you to give them food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them, and they are richly satisfied. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their breath, they die and turn again to dust. When you give them your breath, life is created, and you renew the face of the earth.
Thank you. Sometimes jumping into the middle of things is the way that God would have us do things. Sometimes God wants us to be amazed by all the things that he has created, by all the things that he has done. And when this psalm says, all of the creatures, do you realize that includes who?
Us.
We are God's creatures. I know, as people, we don't like to think that, do we? Because as soon as we think creatures, we think little furry tails and, you know, those ears and whiskers and stuff like that. You know, maybe serpent things crawling along the ground. We think creatures, but we are God's creatures. And we were made like all things in earth to worship God. So the choir is going to do a song called First Thing I Do Every Morning. By your Holy Spirit, open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts, so that the words that we hear this morning may change our hearts and our minds, and Lord, inform our actions by your will. In all ways, let us be drawn closer to you this morning and closer to one another. Amen. We're going to continue reading from Psalm 104, and the tone sort of changes. The psalmist has been amazed by the things God has made, and the psalmist looks at all things and realizes that God has made absolutely everything. And yet, not everything remains new. So the psalmist realizes this quite clearly, that he says, when you send your spirit, life is created. and you renew the face of the earth. Lord, may your glory continue forever. The Lord takes much pleasure in all that he has made. The earth trembles at his glance, and the mountains smoke at his touch. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God with my last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let all sinners vanish from the face of the earth, and let the wicked disappear. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This psalm in the lectionary has this verse taken out, right here, this line. Let all sinners vanish from the face of the earth, and let the wicked disappear forever. I'm not sure why the lectionary takes it out, but the psalm falls apart without it, because the psalmist is lost in the majesty of God and lost in the perfection of who God is and what God has made. And when he looks upon the things that deface the things of God and destroy the things of God, he's saddened. And it's natural for us when we see something like that to go, I wish that wasn't so. We drive down the road sometimes, we're driving down a beautiful country road, and we see somebody's dumped garbage off to the road. We go, yeah. It destroys the view of what we have. It destroys that sense of peace. When we see things that shouldn't happen in places of beauty, in places of wonder, we go, why does that happen? I wish God wouldn't allow that to happen. So what the psalmist is saying is something very natural and very normal, and wondering at why God allows that. Why does God allow that? So taking it out of the lectionary for me really took away from the psalm. So I put it back in because I think it's important that we can't understand beauty without understanding the opposite of beauty, which is ugliness. We can't understand grace if we don't understand lack of compassion. We can't understand the things that are good if we don't understand the things that are bad. We need those comparisons. Without them, we're just living in a vacuum. And the psalmist doesn't want us to live in a vacuum, because he says, here we are, let all that I am praise the Lord. That's not enough for him. What does he say again? Let all that I am praise the Lord. See those at exclamation mark? Those teachers of English go, you need to accent that word. Praise the Lord. It's something that's exciting. And the psalmist wants us to know that this is no small talk about nature. This is talk about life. Because God created all things. All people. All nature. Everything. God created all things. In Genesis we find right at the very beginning, Genesis 1:27, So God created human beings in his own image. We are created in the image of God. So God didn't make junk. It starts right there. God created all things, and all things depend on God. All nature, all people, everything depends on God for its well-being, its nourishment, its existence. They all depend on you to give them food as they need it, the psalmist writes, because the psalmist is so deeply aware that without God, nothing is possible. So the question this morning, I guess, becomes, what does that mean for us? I mean, it's nice to read a psalm, isn't it? We think, oh, that's really nice. This lovely psalmist, whoever he or she may be, is glorifying God and looking at God's beauty and perfection and sometimes the destruction of things by God and saddened by those. And this is wonderful. God created all things. But how do we put that into our life? Because the Word of God never comes back void, does it? When God speaks and we encounter God, we are forever changed. Well, let's start here. We are God's creation. So if we are God's creation, we are special, but we also are made to know our Creator because we are surrounded by God's creation. Turn around, look around you. Each person here is a creation of God. Now here's something even further. We look through these stained glass windows out to the trees and the natures around us, right? That's creation of God too. It doesn't just stop with us. So the question once again then becomes, so what does that mean for us? Well, God loves all he has created. So there's a nice start for the morning, isn't it? Not only are you God's special creation, but we've been told that he loves us. Ah, and God cares for all he has created. Now let me back that up for a minute. That's us, he cares for all of us. But what did God create? Everything. So what does God care for? Everything. So are you starting to get a little picture here? We're just not the special people that God created to sit around on earth to do nothing. God created us for a purpose because he cares for us. So that means that God does not leave his creation alone. And today, because it's Pentecost, we remember, well, how does God, because sometimes one of the songs that we sing is God Only Wise. God so far away and untouchable and unknowable and veiled. And we think sometimes that God is not here with us. But we know that that's not true because God sent the Holy Spirit to renew absolutely everything all the time. Renewal in the original Hebrew is not a static word. It doesn't just say renew one time. It's an ongoing word. It's a word that starts. And if you like it, it's in present perfect. In other words, it's now and always and before. It moves through. It moves through. It's one of those words that's constantly moving. So that means God sends the Holy Spirit to renew constantly. When you send your spirit, life is created, and you renew the face of the earth, the psalmist writes, all things. And we are God's creatures, remember? We are God's creation. So God is constantly renewing us. God is constantly here with us to reflect the glory of God. In the great catechism that we like to not read because it's so long, it says, we were created for what? To glorify God and live in his presence forever. We were created for the glory of God. We are God's creation. We live and move and have our being in the very nature of God. No matter where we are, when we are in the glory of God. Because the Lord takes pleasure in all that he has made. Not only his people, but his creatures and the world. So why should that matter to us? That's a rhetorical question. Well, it doesn't have to be if you want to yell an answer up. If God's creation is important to God, shouldn't it be important to us? Now look at the person beside you and say, you are important. Yeah. If there's nobody beside you, honey, you can turn around. Yeah, you are important. You are important. You are important to God, and I am important to God, so therefore you're important to me. How do we do that? God doesn't, I've said this time and time again, God doesn't leave us wondering if we should be the good, faithful caretakers of the world or not. God calls us, because back in Genesis, we find this out. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. We like that part. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry on the ground. Now here's the thing. Anybody that knows anything about leadership knows one thing. If there's nobody behind you, are you a leader? You're just some guy out for a walk. So when God says reign over all these things, in order to be reigning over something, you need to have something that's going to follow you. In other words, you need to care for God's creation. And that's what the psalmist is saying. When God calls us and God made us and God placed us on the earth, the psalmist is saying, in this creation of all things, God said, I'm putting you there to care for my creation. Because you are important. So he says, remember, care for each other, care for all things. But the psalmist puts in a little caveat, doesn't he? Remember this, the earth trembles at his touch, and the mountains smoke at his touch. It takes nothing but a glance and a touch for God to make the earth tremble and the mountains smoke. All things were created for God. All things are to be cared for by us. Do you see the difference? Are they ours? We are only the good stewards. We are only the good and faithful caretakers. All things are God's. All nature, all people, everything. So when you look outside and you look to the nature that's around you and you look to the people that stand beside you, they are ours to care for and love and surround and let them know the joy of God and let them know God made all things because God cares for us. And God didn't leave us alone. Not only did he send his son, but he also gave us the breath of life. When you give them your breath, life is created. And you renew the face of the earth. Thanks be to God for God's gracious and humble and amazing mercy, compassion, and the mystery that we are surrounded by. Let us pray. Lord, we walk in your ways, we hear your voice, and we wonder at the marvels that surround us. And Lord, this morning as we come before you, we think about those who are not with us this morning, Lord, because they are traveling, visiting family, taking much needed rest or vacation, or Lord, perhaps they are ill of body, mind, or spirit, and they can't get out. Lord, we think of those who have come close to the end of their journey and long to be with you. We hold all of these people up to you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that as your arms surround them, that they know that they are being prayed for by people who love them, that they are being lifted up so that they may receive your love and your peace and your comfort, Lord. May they receive your strength and your hope, life for another day, renewed and wondrous. Father, hear us now as we come together to pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. When they said, Lord, teach us to pray, he said, pray in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Go into the world knowing God has given you everything that you need to do his work in this world today and forevermore. Go in the name of the Father, the power of the Spirit, and the peace of the Son. Go now in peace.